8th grade history, United States history. Tuesday, April 21st. History unit, Manifest Destiny in the 1840s. Lesson 2, Oregon Country, California and Utah. Objective, be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1, explain the causes and effects of Manifest Destiny in Oregon Country. Introduction to Lesson 2. In the 1830s and 1840s, movement westward under the presidencies of Jackson, Van Buren, Tyler, and James K. Polk brought new challenges to the United States. The steamboat, canals, roads, and the introduction of trains made movement around the country easier. In light of these improvements, more Americans began their movement toward Oregon Country, which is part of the area explored in the Lewis and Clark expeditions. We will take a look at a map of the Oregon Trail and at a famous painting that is meant to exemplify Manifest Destiny called American Progress by John Gast. Please turn to page 9. Looking at the diagram, which is a map showing 1840 boundaries of the United States and trails out westward, answer the following questions. Number 1. Circle the Mormon Trek, the Santa Fe Trail, and the California Trail. These will be important next week. Number 2. In what city and state does the Oregon Trail begin? Number 3. In what city does the Oregon Trail end? Number 4. What famous mountain range does the Oregon Trail cut through? Number 5. Along what river does the Oregon Trail follow after the South Pass? Number 6. What two rivers are close to Oregon City? Number 7. The Oregon Trail crosses which plains? Turn to page 12. It seems like, then, that Manifest Destiny is establishing or making firm the events that must happen in the future for the United States. Specifically, the United States must take the steps necessary to ensure that it will exist from the Atlantic to the Pacific, where the United States will expand. The following is from the primary source, John L. O'Sullivan's The Great Nation of Futurity, 1839. A. The American people, having derived their origin from many other nations, and the Declaration of National Independence being entirely based on the great principle of human equality, these facts demonstrate at once our disconnected position as regards any other nation, that we have, in reality, but little connection with the past history of any of them, and still less with all antiquity, its glories, or its crimes. On the contrary, our national birth was the beginning of a new history, the formation and progress of an untried political system, which separates us from the past and connects us with the future only. And so far as regards the entire development of the natural rights of man in moral, political, and national life, we may confidently assume that our country is destined to be the great nation of futurity, or of the future time. B. We have no interest in the scenes of antiquity, only as lessons of avoidance of nearly all their examples. The expansive future is our arena, and for our history. We are entering on its untrodden space, with the truths of God in our minds, beneficent objects in our hearts, and with a clear conscience, unsullied by the past. We are the nation of human progress, and who will, what can, set limits to our onward march? Providence is with us, and no earthly power can stop. C. The far-reaching, the boundless future will be the era of American greatness. In its magnificent domain of space and time, the nation of many nations is destined to manifest to mankind the excellence of divine principles, to establish on earth the noblest temple ever dedicated to the worship of the Most High, the Sacred and the True. Its floor shall be a hemisphere, its roof the firmament of the star-studded heavens, and its congregation a union of many republics, comprising hundreds of happy millions, calling, owning no man master, but governed by God's natural and moral law of equality, the law of brotherhood, of peace and goodwill amongst men. Yes, we are the nation of progress, of individual freedom, of universal enchantment. This is D. Equality of rights is the cynosure, or the center of attention, of our union of states, the grand exemplar of the correlative equality of individuals. We must onward to the fulfillment of our mission, to the entire development of the principle of our organization, freedom of conscience, freedom of person, freedom of trade and business pursuits, universality of freedom and equality. This is our high destiny, and in nature's eternal, inevitable decree of cause and effect, we must accomplish it. All this will be our future history, to establish on earth the moral dignity and salvation of man, the immutable truth and beneficence of God. For this blessed mission to the nations of the world, which are shut out from the life-giving light of truth, has America been chosen. And her high example shall smite unto death the tyranny of kings, hierarchs, and oligarchs, and carry the glad tidings of peace and goodwill where myriads now endure an existence scarcely more enviable than that of beasts of the field. Who, then, can doubt that our country is destined to be the great nation of futurity? The questions are on page 13 to answer. Now please turn to page 14. The following primary source is an excerpt from William E. Channing's letter to Henry Clay in 1837. William E. Channing is a Unitarian minister who lives in Boston. Did this county know itself, or were it disposed to profit by self-knowledge, it would feel the necessity of laying an immediate curb or limit on its passion of extended territory. We are a restless people, prone to encroachment, impatient of the ordinary laws of progress. We boast of our rapid growth, forgetting that throughout nature noble growths are slow. It is full time that we should lay on ourselves serious, resolute restraint. Possessed of a domain vast enough for the growth of ages, it is time for us to stop in the career of acquisition and conquest. Already endangered by our own greatness, we cannot advance without imminent peril to our institutions, union, prosperity, virtue, and peace. It is sometimes said that nations are swayed by laws, as unfailing as those which govern matter, that they have their destinies, that their character and position carry them forward irresistibly to their goal, that the Indians have melted before the white man, and the mixed, degraded race of Mexico must melt before the Anglo-Saxon. Away with this vile sophistry and dishonest argument of manifest destiny. There is no necessity for crime. There is no fate to justify greedy and insatiable nations, any more than to justify gamblers and robbers in plunder. We boast of the progress of society, and this progress consists in the substitution of reason and moral principle for the sway of brute force. We talk of accomplishing our destiny. So did the late conqueror of Europe, Napoleon, and destiny consigned him to a lonely rock in the ocean, the prey of ambition, which destroyed no peace but his own. This concludes the material for Wednesday, April 22nd.